Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70 plus exhibits, first class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
According to the latest Pacific Region Milk Production Report from the National Agricultural Statistics Service, USDA, milk production during February totaled 3.36 billion gallons, up 2.7% from February of 2023 and down 5.1% from January of 2024. The number of milk cows on farms in California was 1.71 million head, down 8,000 from February of 2023 and unchanged from January of 2024. Production per cow in California averaged 1,965 pounds, up 60 pounds from February of 2023 and down 105 pounds from January 2024. California's organic asparagus production continues. Following its start 3 weeks ago, production will increase this week, and they expect strong production starting in April, which will continue through June, according to Caleb Randall, iPolito International's asparagus commodity manager. The supply should be approximately the same as last year. In California, production began a week earlier due to favorable weather conditions. He says last year they experienced cooler temperatures and wetter weather, which postponed the season's start in the Salinas Valley. The small town of Gonzales has ideal growing conditions with cool nights, foggy mornings, and warm days. The weather there creates a spectacular asparagus crop, he says. In California as a whole, there are three primary growing regions for asparagus: the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta, the Central Coast, and the San Joaquin Valley. It remains a key asparagus growing state at a time when overall acreage is down on the vegetable in the U.S. In 2022, California, Michigan, New Jersey, and Washington collectively harvested 16,200 acres of asparagus, and that's a decrease since 2006, when it was 44,700 acres. In California, asparagus production has decreased from 22,500 acres in 2006 to 2,200 acres in 2022, while Michigan harvested 9,900 acres. While Michigan harvested 9,900 acres, Washington was out 2,100 acres and New Jersey at 2,000 acres. In 2021, California accounted for 30.6% of the total U.S. asparagus production. Despite having smaller acreage, production increased by 21% from 2020 to 2021. Demand for asparagus is moderate right now, but consumption should pick up as the peak season approaches. Easter and Mother's Day are excellent times to promote asparagus, and it's a favorable item to promote into spring and early summer, according to Randall, adding that by promoting California-grown product, buyers can improve their offerings and support local agriculture. As for pricing, it's been steady for the first 2 weeks of March and should be comparable to 2022 pricing. Over the next few weeks through the end of March and early April, we should expect steady pricing, increasing volume, and beautiful quality, according to Randall, noting that the biggest challenges for growers and shippers right now are higher production costs and competing against less expensive product sourcing from Mexico. Watsonville-based Driscoll's has been named a Fast Company's prestigious list of the world's most innovative companies of 2024. This year's list shines a spotlight on businesses that are shaping industry and culture through their innovations. These organizations are setting new standards and achieving remarkable milestones in all sectors of the economy. Alongside the world's most 50 innovative companies, Fast Company recognizes 606 organizations across 58 sectors and regions. Driscoll's has one of the world's largest research and development flavor centers that is solely dedicated to berry flavor innovation through their own proprietary varieties, according to Soren Bjorn, CEO of Driscoll's. He says that they have leveraged a center of excellence for the launch of their premium sweetest batch berries. Shoppers can now experience unprecedented flavor with a trusted brand that they know has been a part of their daily daily lives, he says. In bringing a flavor-forward innovation of Sweetest Batch, Driscoll's promoted innovation across the fresh produce category, resetting expectations within the category for how fresh produce should taste. Their list of the most innovative companies is both a comprehensive look at the innovation economy and a snapshot of the business trends that define the year, according to Fast Company Editor-in-Chief Brendan Vaughn. He says they saw extraordinary innovation across the board in 2023, but also saw a handful of clear patterns. The growing footprint and impact of AI, which stands for artificial intelligence, the triumphant return of life events, and great leaps forward in climate tech. He says they face daunting challenges on many fronts, but the solutions that they celebrate in the most innovative companies gives him plenty of hope about the future. The Almond Board of California has highlighted the economic significance of almonds by pointing to their valuation at nearly $3.52 billion in 2022. Despite being a leading crop in Solano County from 2019 to 2021, almonds fell to sixth place in 2022 with a gross production value of $21.29 million, which is a significant drop from $71.12 million in 2021. Adverse weather conditions, including rains and winds coinciding with a bloom period, have impacted the almond industry in recent years. The full extent of these challenges on the current season's output remains uncertain, with the Almond Board awaiting reports from the National Agricultural Statistics Service. The subjective measurement report is expected in May, followed by the objective measurement report in July. They really have no idea how the bloom is going. The weather was solid. There was some good days and bad days, and it was different everywhere, according to Rick Cushman, a spokesperson for the Almond Board, highlighting the variability of conditions even within individual orchards. Central Coast wineries are the third most active participants in a winery direct-to-consumer shipment channel after Napa and Sonoma County wineries. With shipments worth $410.5 million on a volume of 714,172 cases in the last 12 months through February, Central Coast wineries claim 10% of the channel by both value and volume. Similar to the rest of the channel, shipment activity has pulled back in the last 12 months, with value falling 3% and volume down 10%, driven largely by red blends. The result was a 7% increase in the average bottle price to $47.90. Headquartered in Vernon, Melissa's is inviting consumers to embark on a tropical flight with its introduction of a retail program featuring all three dragon fruit varieties, white, red, and yellow. While consumers may be familiar with a vibrant red dragon fruit, the yellow variety remains a hidden gem for many, according to a news release. Melissa says the fruit deserves a spotlight, not only for its exceptional taste, but also for its distinct appearance, making it easier for shoppers to identify in the market. Inspired by wine flights, where patrons experience a tasting flight of multiple varietals, the Tropical Flight Program offers consumers the opportunity to discover the flavor profiles and vibrant colors of each dragon fruit variety. They're excited to introduce the Tropical Flight Program and bring the full dragon fruit experience to consumers, according to Robert Schuler, Director of Public Relations at Melissa's. He says the innovative concept not only allows shoppers to explore the diverse world of dragon fruit, but it also helps them to easily identify the yellow variety, which they believe to be the sweetest of the bunch. Melissa says it's offering sales and marketing resources to support the Tropical Flight launch, which include displays, stickers, and a Tropical Flight pack. Organic vegetable and herb grower Jacobs Farm Del Cabo of Santa Cruz has debuted its Cabo Peel Reseal Pint for its organic snacking tomatoes. The packaging innovations are mindfully developed and ahead of the curve, according to Danielle Violante, marketing manager for Jacobs Farm Del Cabo. She says they have watched the industry-wide adoption of Top Seal replacing single-use plastic clamshells and sought their own unique take on this new presentation, one that would take its look, functionality, and sustainability beyond what they see in the market. Now, the company said the new Peel Reseal pint is a strong, clear label that adheres to the pint with adhesive and is less likely to tear. The company said the label design honors pieces of history with elements of the lives of the company's grower collective in Baja California, Mexico. The company said it has shared the inspiration behind the brand elements last year at the International Fresh Produce Association's Global Produce and Floral Show. Jacobs Farm Del Cabo said transitioning from single-use plastic clamshells to the new Peel Reseal pint will reduce plastic use by 25%, and the label and tub are 100% recyclable. The company also plans to transition all plastic clamshell pints for its sugar plum, honey bunch grape tomatoes, cherry tomatoes, and heirloom medley to the Peel Reseal pint. Another feature of the package is its soil-grown label that identifies its farming practices, according to the company. Revolution Foods, one of California's largest providers of healthy meals to schools and communities in need, has partnered with the City of Los Angeles to deliver meals to homebound seniors facing food insecurity and mobility challenges. Seniors 60 and over living in Los Angeles can sign up to receive 5 free healthy meals per week delivered to their homes. The partnership with the City of LA represents Revolution Foods' latest expansion of its senior meals service, which includes programs in Kern County, West Covina, and 19 communities in the San Gabriel Valley through a partnership with the YWCA San Gabriel Valley. With more than 1,000 seniors participating in the LA program, Revolution Foods, a public benefit corporation, now provides more than 16,000 meals per week to California seniors, according to the company. The LA City Council earmarked funding for 5,800 seniors to join the Rapid Response Senior Meals program last November. While the program is available to anyone 60 and over living in Los Angeles, the city is focusing efforts on serving low-income and homebound seniors in underserved neighborhoods. Revolution Foods prepares healthy, low-sodium meals in its kitchens, then freezes the food for delivery once a week so seniors can reheat the meals at their convenience. A 6-week menu of more than 30 different meals caters to diverse tastes and cultural preferences. Favorites include turkey burgers, lemon Dijon chicken, tuna casserole, beef stew, and lemon-breaded fish filet. In satisfaction surveys, 73% of seniors rated their meal program a 5 out of 5. 94% gave the program a score of 4 out of 5 or higher.
Staying ahead of on-farm finances in 2024 will be crucial to a grower's success. That's going to require good profit maximization, improved input spending, taking protective measures against market volatility, and more. Jacqueline Fernandez is with Nutrien Financial, and she discussed tools and resources to maximize profits. Top of mind for her is education.
You know, there's a lot that goes into farming in general. There's just a lot of different aspects that go into it. And I think that financing may not have been such a big topic in the past because, let's face it, farmers are there to grow the crops, and that's their main focus and their real passion. But I do think that in the last, 2 years or so, as interest rates have gone up, it's really been a main focus for farmers. And it's just important for them to know their options and the terms and, how it's going to be used to their best of their ability. I would just say that would be an excellent tool. And like I said, just having those options so you can weather those uncertain times in agriculture and, all the increased costs that have come over the years. What I like to say is just, having a backup plan for the backup plan is always a good idea.
As growers open themselves up to more options for their finances, that might require going back to the drawing board and changing a financial plan entirely to stretch dollars further.
I think historically, in California in general, financing your crop protection and fertilizer purchases hasn't really been a thing and hasn't really been top of the mind. But like I said before, with these increased interest rates, it's really made farmers kind of change the way that they're doing business and going out there and searching for these additional sources of capital. And Nutrien Financial is offering a way for them to basically stretch their dollar and use the, our financing options in place of, just using their cash. And then they can go out and use that cash for other expenses that they may not have been able to, wasn't possibly in the budget for that year.
Essentially, a grower's decision regarding the source of their capital will have an effect on the bottom line. Another good way to maximize use of capital is making sure payment dates align with cash flow.
There's a lot of different crops in California, and so not everyone can make payments at the same time. For example, an almond grower, it would not be advantageous for them to have a payment due in August when they're just starting harvest and they've really, racked up their max amount of expenses at that time. We would probably rather them make a payment in December or February when they're actually getting their crop proceeds. So it's just important to have those plans in place so that you really are stretching that dollar as far as it can go.
Knowing what times of the year that cash is flowing on a given operation is crucial to financial success year over year.
You know, a lot of growers may not realize this, or even, you know, crop consultants within Nutrien don't fully understand the impacts of making sure that this is really aligned with their cash flow, because you don't want to get into a situation where, you know, they were supposed to make a payment in August, but they don't have any money because they've spent it all and none has really come in yet. And then you're getting past due fees and, you know, all of the issues that come with not making a payment on time. So it's just, yeah, very important to make sure that we're getting those payment dates accurately.
To hear more of this topic with Jacqueline on financial success for growers in 2024, check out this Friday's podcast at myaglife.com/podcast at 4 p.m. Pacific. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Charlstrom.
Senate Budget Committee Ranking Member Chuck Grassley is increasing his opposition to the Environmental Protection Agency's tailpipe emissions proposal. He cites a new cost estimate by the Congressional Budget Office. The CBO released a 10-year budget and economic outlook projecting a $224 billion increase in a cumulative deficit caused by higher electric vehicle tax credit claims and reduced gas revenues. He says CBO noted that the EV rule is the largest factor contributing to these revisions. In a letter to EPA Administrator Michael Regan, Grassley said the American taxpayers have not voted for and can't afford the EPA's tailpipe standards. Grassley also noted the challenges the standards pose for auto dealers and wants the agency to clarify its legal authority for promoting the EV rule. He'd also like the EPA to outline its plans to compensate for the hundreds of billions of dollars lost in tax revenue and extra spending. Bayer plans to step up its fight against Roundup lawsuits in and out of courtrooms by beefing up its litigation team and continuing to work for legislative reform to protect companies against so-called risk warning lawsuits, according to CEO Bill Anderson during a company event earlier this month. Bayer testified in favor of bills in three states that would help protect companies from risk warning lawsuits such as those involving Roundup. The House Agriculture Committee held a hearing recently regarding concerns over foreign influence on American agriculture. Ranking Member David Scott, a Democrat from Georgia, said the more specific purpose of the hearing was to discuss the influence that China has on U.S. agriculture. In his opening statement, he says he wants us to keep in mind that China is an important trading partner to the U.S. He says we need a thorough and policy-heavy conversation so that we can help American farmers and our agricultural system navigate this issue. He also pointed out that China is America's largest trading partner, accounting for $33.7 billion in U.S. agricultural exports last fiscal year. American farmers produce way more than a country can use domestically, so trade is vital. He says, my colleagues will often note that we are in an agricultural trade deficit, and adds that I'm here to tell you that alienating our trade partners will only deepen a deficit. What are some ways the Agriculture Department supports development of the nation's biomanufacturing sector? USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain has the story.
Biomanufacturing is a growing industry. Products ranging from farm lubricants to playground equipment, packaging and apparel. USDA, through its Rural Development Mission Area and Rural Business Cooperative Service, are among the entities serving as incubators and investors into this sector. As RBCS Administrator Betsy Dirksen-Londergan told an audience at this year's AgriPulse Ag and Food Summit,
we provide grants and loans to rural businesses. We do that directly. We do it through banks. We also do it through cooperatives.
And based on a recent USDA report on developing a more resilient supply chain for biomass feedstocks and goods produced from them,
do we have enough biomass to support the industries of the future? And the answer is yes. And those opportunities are all over rural America.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The 2024 growing season is expected to bring a unique combination of El Nino this spring through early summer before switching to La Nina in late summer through early fall. Farmers Business Network says the opposing climate patterns have the potential to trigger significant weather events that could have problematic impacts on crop production. 2023 ended with a strong El Nino, which is weakening now and will end around April. However, the long-term impacts will be felt throughout the growing season. The U.S. weather patterns will likely shift back to normal between April and July, followed by a probable La Nina through September. The report also says that the 2024 planting date for rice will be slightly earlier, with a slight decrease of yields.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.